We turn now to Scripture, and I read two rather short passages. First is from the Gospel according to John. It's found in the 13th chapter. Jesus is in the midst of a conversation, and he gives to his disciples a new commandment. It is found in the 13th chapter of John. I'll be beginning with the 31st verse. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am only with you a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then from the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, again familiar words, beginning with the 28th verse. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most of you will recognize the name of Albert Schweitzer, one of the most famous missionaries of the modern era. Leaving behind both an academic career, Schweitzer had PhDs in both theology and physics, and a musical one. Most folks don't realize that he was a concert organist. Schweitzer set up a medical clinic in what was then French Equatorial Africa. He was 85 years old when Andrew Davison of Colgate Rochester Seminary had the privilege of visiting him. Davison tells how one morning at around 11 o'clock or so, he, Schweitzer, and some others were walking up a hill. It was extremely hot day, and suddenly the 85-year-old Dr. Schweitzer walked away from the group. He made his way toward a woman struggling up the hill with a large load of wood for the cook fires. Schweitzer took the entire load of wood from the woman and carried it up the hill for her. Well, when he had gotten the wood to where the woman wanted it to go, he rejoined the group. And one of them asked him why he did things like that at 85 years of old age. With the rest of the group, this person was surprised and concerned that a person of his age would strain himself so. Dr. Schweitzer looked at the group, then pointed to the woman and said, "No one should ever have to carry a burden like that alone." What do you do with your burdens? Not loads of wood, but the stresses and strains, the cares, the worries, the anxieties, burdens, which come to rest upon your life. How do we handle them as individuals, as families, as churches, as communities, as a nation? What do you do? What do I do with these burdens? How do we go about handling them? Wouldn't it be nice to pick up the phone and or log in to a company, burden bearers, licensed, bonded, insured, guaranteed to bear your burdens or your money back. But you and I know there is no such company. We all bear burdens, whether from ranging from minor physical annoyances to anxieties about our safety to full-blown neuroses. And there is no such burden-bearer company to come and relieve us from these burdens. Rather, we go about life shouldering our burdens, and we do so in different ways. And in my experience, I have noticed several ways people bear their burdens, several of which I would suggest are unhealthy and really anti-Christian or unchristian. The other, healthy and a faithful response in the context of the Christian faith. On the one extreme, there is the go-it-alone approach. We all know and recognize that approach. It's my problem. I'll deal with it. I can handle it. These folks never share their burdens. In fact, they consider it a weakness to do so. Seeing the exposure of their vulnerability as some sort of weakness, they shoulder the whole load themselves, stuffing it down inside in the process. Such, my friends, is not only unhealthy, it also denies the communal nature of our humanity. Bearing one's burden alone puts added stress and strain on the body from a physical standpoint. Medical professionals tell us that stress is one of the primary factors in ill health. It breaks down the body's defenses, opening us up to all types of illness and disease. One of the ways stress is relieved is by sharing it, by giving voice to the burdens we bear, not keeping them bottled up inside. You see, not only is burden bearing our burdens alone unhealthy, keeping them to ourselves also denies the communal nature of humanity by robbing another person of the opportunity to show compassion by sharing your burden with them. It took me a long time to realize it, but one of the ways we live in community is by inviting others to share in this burden-bearing business. This is particularly true with couples. The husband or wife chooses not to share the stresses and strains of work, of finances, of parenting, of personal struggles for fear it will potentially upset his or her partner, exposing his or her own weaknesses. When in reality, sometimes sharing it not only relieves stress and strain, but allows the spouse to feel needed, important, a true helpmate. Yes, in the burden-bearing business, there are too many persons who make attempts to shoulder the whole load alone. And going alone takes its toll on mind, body, and spirit. Joy in life is sucked out. The price of going alone in burden-bearing is costly. The awe and wonder, the excitement and joy in life are gone when we bear our burdens alone. Now, on the other extreme, there is the I'll share it with anyone approach. The I'm miserable, so I'm going to make sure everyone around me is miserable as well. That syndrome, the woe is me attitude to life. You know, the ones who want anyone within earshot to know the many burdens they bear. We all know folks like that, and really, for the large part, they are unhappy people, and it is sad. And though this may be a bit simplistic, there are those within this camp who need to be reminded of what Carl Menninger, the late psychiatrist, said when he was asked what someone should do who is so focused on self that they feel the need to spread the misery around. His advice was, lock your house, go across the railroad tracks, find someone in need, and do something for him. Yes, there are those within the woe is me camp who need to be gently, or even sometimes not so gently, reminded that their attitude can be irksome, and perhaps visit to a nursing home or a children's hospital or a soup kitchen might move the focus somewhere else. Now, on the other hand, there is another way, a healthy way, a faithful way. And it has two components. The first, and I've already touched on it, so won't spend much time with it, is that we are meant to share in the bearing of each other's burdens. Not in an unhealthy way, not in a codependent way, not in catering to the woe is me person, but in a caring, healthy way. For what it part of what it means to be human is to share compassion. And one way we do so is by helping each other bear burdens. I've shared this with you before, but one day a student asked anthropologist Margaret Mead for the earliest sign of civilization in a given culture. This student expected the answer to be a clay pot, or perhaps a fish hook, or a grinding stone, or something like that. But her answer surprised him. She said it was a healed femur, a leg bone. Mead explained that no healed femurs are found where the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest, reigns. A healed femur shows that someone cared. Someone had to do that injured person's hunting and gathering until the leg healed. The evidence of compassion, Mead says, is the first sign of civilization. We show compassion as we share the responsibility of bearing one another's burdens. And secondly, as Jamie pointed out in our time with the children, Jesus says to you and to me, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You and I are not created to carry the load of life, the burdens of self, the burdens of others alone. Jesus offers himself. "Take my yoke upon you," he says, "for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls." The Greek word for yoke can be translated well-fitting. In Palestine, yokes were made of wood. The ox was brought to the carpenter and measurements were taken. The yoke was then roughed out and the ox was brought back to have the yoke tried on it. The yoke was then carefully adjusted so that it would fit well and would not cause chafing of the neck. The yoke was tailor-made to fit the ox. Now, there is a legend that Jesus made the best ox yokes in all of Palestine, and people from all over the country brought their oxen to him to fit the yoke. Above the carpenter's shop, it has been suggested that there was a sign which read, "My yokes fit well." Jesus is present to carry us daily. We must remember that. Jesus' presence to assist us in our burden-bearing is like the manna of old. It was gathered each morning and was good only for that day. Burden-bearing with the presence of Jesus is a daily challenge. And like manna, Jesus assists us today. "My yokes fit well. My burden is light," Jesus says. Being present to assist us in our burden-bearing lightens our burdens. And we become like the little lad, as Scottish theologian William Barclay tells the story, the lad carrying a still smaller boy who was lame upon his back was asked, "That's a heavy burden for you to carry." The lad replied, "That's not a burden, that's my wee brother." We retain our compassion and we experience joy when we permit Jesus to share our burdens on a daily basis. So when you lay down at night, let us all thank the Lord Christ for assisting us during that day. And then, and this is so important, I invite you to pray this prayer. It's printed as your reflection in your bulletins. "Living Lord, thank you for helping me carry the burdens of life this day. Now, I'm going to turn all, yes, all my burdens over to you this night, knowing that you can bear them alone while I sleep. I will meet you in the morning, and we will begin another day together. Amen." I will meet you in the morning. Friends, let us reach out with compassion to those who are carrying heavy burdens, and do so in the name of Christ, who assists us in our burden bearing. And let us go to bed each night prepared to meet Christ in the morning. If you and I do just that, we will become people of compassion, and we will experience joy, even as we, with our living Lord, shoulder our burdens. Let us pray. O God, we thank you for calling us into relationship with you and with each other. We thank you for giving us this community of faith where we share in supporting one another. We especially thank you for supporting us in all the challenges of life. Amen.